book of James, chapter 5. Book of James, chapter 5. I'd like to read verses 16 through verse 18. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias, or Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain. It rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Leading up to what is said here, James had been stressing the duty and the need and the importance of praying. Beginning with verse 13, he mentions different circumstances, such as affliction, sickness, and sin. And each one of those circumstances, he calls upon God's people to pray. In verse 13, he says, let him pray. Verse 14, let him pray. Verse 15, by way of encouragement to pray, he says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And then in verse 16, he returns to giving exhortation concerning prayer, and this time it's praying concerning the sins of others. He says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. There's some wisdom. It's not part of this message. This is free. There's some wisdom here. If you're going to confess your faults, make sure it's to someone who's going to pray. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another. He then states a fact. He states the effectual, that is, the prayer that is effective, the effectual fervent, that speaks of the manner of praying. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, that speaks of the condition of the one praying. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth, that is, it's helpful, it's beneficial. It availeth much, or to a great extent. By way of encouragement to this duty of prayer, and as an example to the fact that is just stated, he mentions Elijah. He says that Elijah was a man. Elias was a man. That is, he wasn't superhuman. He was not some angelic being. He was a man. And as a man, he was subject or susceptible and prone to like passions as we are. That is, as a man, he was affected by the same things that we are. He was subject to the same sins, the same weaknesses, the same shortcomings. He then makes reference again to encourage us in this matter of prayer. And he says, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. Again, by way of encouragement in this matter of prayer, notice verse 18. And he prayed again. There's a message there. And he prayed again. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. I want to speak this evening on the persistent prayer of Elijah for rain. Our text will, that wasn't our text that we just read, but our text will come from 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 41 through 46, and this is what James was referring to. 1 Kings 18, verses 41 through 46. And Elijah said unto Ahab, "Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And he said, "Go again." And he did this seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, "Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand." And he said, that is to his servant, "Go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not." It came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. This is the event that James is referring to. We see, first of all, that this was a great time of need. At this time, the land was under God's judgment for the sin of idolatry. Evil King Ahab and his wicked wife, Queen Jezebel, had brought Israel deeper into sin than ever before. Baal worship had become even more prevalent than it was before. The nation had persistently ignored all of God's calls to repentance. God sent his faithful prophet Elijah to confront King Ahab. And Elijah, as we saw this morning, would tell Ahab that there would be no rain or dew, no moisture at all, for years to come. As we come to 1 Kings chapter 18, this drought has been going on now for 3.5 years. It had not rained, nor had dew been on the ground for 3.5 years. We read in 1 Kings 18 and verse 2, "And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in the land." There was a sore or severe, painful, distressful famine in Samaria. So again, it was a time of famine. The crops had no doubt died in the fields. Much livestock after 3.5 years had died, and if it had not died, it was dying. Wells had dried up, and if they had not dried up completely, they were drying up. Rivers and brooks had dried up and were continuing to dry up. People had died. 3.5 years of no moisture, people are going to die. And people were continuing to die as a result of this famine. So no doubt this was a time of great grief. It was a time of great sorrow. It was a time of heartache. It was a time of anguish. No doubt it was a time of poverty. And no doubt it was a time of tremendous loss. And it was a time of hopelessness. I mean, after 3.5 years of no moisture, hopelessness begins to set in. It was a time of futility. It was a time of great restlessness. There was widespread devastation. There was widespread barrenness. There was widespread desolation. And if you were to look upon the faces of the people who lived during this time, you would see on their faces a great uneasiness. You would see on their faces great sadness. And you would see much stress upon their faces. No doubt as you look upon their faces, you would see worry. And you would see confusion. Why is this happening? As you look upon their faces, you might see that their faces are marked with weakness. And their bodies are marked with frailty. You would see a people who were struggling just to continue on. A people who was struggling just to make it. Everywhere you turned, there was death. Everywhere you turned, there was futility. It was a time of great need. So that gives us a little background leading up to the prayer of Elijah. And we want to consider this praying of Elijah. First of all, Elijah had faith in God. In this time of famine, in this time of dryness and barrenness and desolation, Elijah had faith. In fact, Elijah tells Ahab that the rain was coming. Verse 41, Elijah said, "Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." God had told Elijah, it's going to rain soon. Elijah believed God. So Elijah goes to Ahab, gives him the message. The rain is coming. In fact, it's so close, I can hear it. The sound of the abundance of rain. So Elijah had faith. This faith moved him to pray. With that news, "For there is the sound of the abundance of rain," we read in verse 42, just as Elijah told Ahab to do, he went up to eat and to drink. In the meantime, Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel to pray. We see he gets there and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. Elijah had faith. His faith moved him to pray. Elijah knew that God was in control, whether or not it rained or didn't. So Elijah went to the Lord. Notice the spirit of Elijah in prayer. He took his place before the Lord. It says that he cast himself down upon the earth. He put his face between his knees. This is a picture of reverence. This is a picture of humility. It's a picture of a burdened heart. And it is a picture of a man who is submitting to the Lord. And notice the manner of Elijah's praying. James tells us that he prayed fervently. So there's Elijah up on that mountain, and he prays fervently. That is, he prays with passion. He's very intent as he's praying. He's praying with all of his heart. James said that he prayed fervently and earnestly. That is, this was a very serious matter. And Elijah was very serious and sincere in this matter of praying. That he prayed earnestly means that he prayed resolutely. What this means is that he prayed with vigor. He prayed with energy. He prayed with zeal. He prayed with passion. He prayed with determination and diligence. Elijah was not upon that mountain just going through the motions. Elijah was not upon that mountain just saying a few words. Elijah was praying. And he was praying with great persistence. He instructed his servant that while he's praying, he said, I want you to go and I want you to look toward the sea for the coming, for any sign of coming rain. I'll pray and I want you to go look for the answer. And you tell me when the answer is coming. While Elijah is praying, we see in verse 43, the servant went up and looked and said, there is nothing. So the servant goes out and looks toward the sea, and he returns, and he said, Elijah, there's nothing. Elijah, there's no hint of rain. The wind is still calm, no wind, no cloud in the sky. Nothing. Elijah says, go look again. And Elijah continues to pray. The servant went again, looked toward the sea, and again, no hint of rain, no wind, no cloud in the sky. And he returned and he said, Elijah, there's nothing. And Elijah said, go again. Go look again. And Elijah continued to pray. Keep in mind, Elijah is praying fervently and earnestly while this servant is looking for the answer. The servant went again, looked toward the sea, and again, no hint of rain anywhere. No wind. No cloud in the sky. And he returned to Elijah for the third time and he said, there is nothing. And Elijah said, go look again. And in the meantime, Elijah would continue to pray. The servant went again, looked toward the sea. Again, no hint of rain anywhere. No wind. No cloud in the sky. And he returned, perhaps by now a little slower. Perhaps by now with discouragement in his voice. And he said, Elijah, there's nothing. Elijah said, go again. Go look again. And Elijah would continue to pray. The servant went again for the fifth time. Looked toward the sea again. Again, no hint of rain anywhere. No wind, no cloud in the sky. And he returned, perhaps even a little slower again. Again, perhaps discouraged. Perhaps a little bit frustrated. And he said, Elijah, there's nothing. And Elijah said, go again. This is the sixth time. The servant went, looked toward the sea. And again, no hint of rain anywhere, no wind, no cloud in the sky. And he returned. Elijah, there's nothing. No sign of rain anywhere, Elijah. But Elijah knew that God said it was going to rain. So Elijah continues to pray. Six times. The word comes to Elijah, there is nothing. Elijah, do you hear me? Elijah, do you understand what I'm saying to you? There is nothing. Elijah continued to pray. And I imagine, I'm pretty certain of it, that somewhere in that time frame, when the servant was going back and forth, that Satan began to whisper in the ear of Elijah, "Elijah, what are you doing? Just quit. Just give up. It's obvious, Elijah, that even though God said it was going to rain, it's not. It's not going to rain, Elijah. And Elijah, God doesn't hear a word you're saying. Here you are up on this mountain pouring your heart out to God, and have you heard 6 times, Elijah? 6 times! There's nothing! There's nothing." With no sign of discouragement, no sign of giving up, Elijah continued to pray earnestly and fervently. And you want to know why? You want to know why Elijah continued to pray? You want to know why Elijah was so persistent? You want to know why Elijah did not faint? He had faith. But I believe that he remembered. I'm talking to the God who fed me with ravens, had the ravens bring me my food at the brook Kereth. He remembered what God did at that brook. And he remembered what God did at Zarephath. And he remembered what God did on Mount Carmel. And Elijah knew that in God was all power. He knew that God was able. So even though he heard 6 times, "Elijah, there's nothing. Elijah, there's no sign of rain. Elijah, there's not a cloud in the sky." Even though he heard it 6 times, he continued to pray. He would not be distracted. He would not be discouraged. Because Elijah believed who God was. And because Elijah believed what God had promised, Elijah continued to pray. You see, we've preached on this before, but when Elijah heard there's nothing, that didn't discourage Elijah. Because Elijah knew that on the other side of nothing was God. And he knew what great things that God can do with nothing. God doesn't have to have something to work with. He created out of nothing. On the other side of nothing was someone. And he knew it was God. Finally, after 6 times of "there is nothing," verse 44, "it came to pass at the 7th time. So the servant goes out the 7th time, look toward the sea. This time he saw something. And I imagine he looked several times to make sure. He saw a cloud. And he returned to Elijah, and his tone is completely different. Before he said there is nothing. But notice what he says now. Verse 44. "Behold! Behold!" He didn't say before, "Behold, there's nothing." He just said, "There's nothing." But now he says, "Behold, there ariseth a little cloud." A little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And I don't believe that just means that it was shaped like a man's hand. I believe it was the size of a man's hand. A little cloud. Not going to get much rain out of this cloud. Out of a little cloud. Elijah got excited. Elijah got excited. Because he knew that on the other side of something little, on the other side of something insignificant, was a great big God. Don't let it discourage you when there's nothing. Because on the other side of nothing is God. Don't let it discourage you when it's just a little cloud. Because on the other side of that which is little and insignificant, there's a great big God. Elijah, certain, tells his servant. He says, I want you to go tell Ahab, Ahab, you better get moving before you get stuck because the rain is coming. And the servant went and told Ahab. Then notice verse 45. It came to pass, in the meanwhile, what started out as a little cloud like a man's hand, that the heaven was black with clouds. This was today, the tornado sirens would be going off. What started off as a little cloud. Now the heavens are black with clouds and wind. And there was a great rain. It poured. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Elijah is strengthened. Prayer will strengthen you. We read in verse 46, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. Keep in mind, there was a great rain. It's pouring right now. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. He girded up his loins in that pouring down rain, and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel, which is between 16 and 17 miles. It's pouring down rain, and Elijah is filled with the Spirit of God. He has been strengthened by God, and he takes off running, and he meets Ahab at Jezreel. He went from praying for rain to running in the rain. Quite a difference. Quite a difference. 16 to 17 miles. Elijah running in the rain. We all have droughts. We all have times of emptiness. We all have times of dryness. We all have times of barrenness and desolation. Times of difficulty. Times of trial. And Elijah serves as an example in such times. Elijah believed God. And though there was no answer in sight, he continued to pray. He continued to plead. He continued to pour out his heart to God. Elijah would not be stopped by those words, "There is nothing." Doesn't take much to stop God's people from praying today. They pray once or twice and don't get an answer, they're pretty much done. And if they got the news, there is absolutely no sign whatsoever that God is hearing a word you're saying, they get theological and say, well, it must not be God's will. And they stopped praying. But Elijah just kept on praying. Because he knew what God said. God had promised rain. And he knew that. So he continued to pray. While he was praying, he heard 6 times, "There is nothing." Elijah, all that energy you just spent praying, there's nothing. Elijah, all that time you just spent praying, we don't know how much time elapsed between each trip. Elijah, you know all that time you just spent praying and pouring your heart out to God and pleading, Elijah, there's nothing. Elijah, do you hear me? There's not a cloud in the sky. There is no sign of rain. There is no sign that God hears your prayer. There is no sign that God is going to answer your prayer. But Elijah refused to quit praying. We need a people that refuse to quit praying. There is nothing. But he refused to be discouraged. He continued to pray. Elijah, there is nothing. But he refused to be distracted. He kept on praying. What an example that we have here in Elijah. We too live in a time of famine. We live in a time when most, and I mean most, are suffering from the effects of a spiritual drought. A time when individual lives and homes and churches have become spiritual wastelands. And there aren't many Elijahs. Remember, Elisha asked the question, where is the God of Elijah? He's where he's always been. The question we need to ask is, where are the Elijahs? Where are they? There aren't many. There aren't many Elijahs today. Lives are being ruined. Homes are being ruined. Churches are being ruined. Where are the Elijahs that are going to pray? And you pray and you pray and you pray. And lives don't get any better, they get worse. Homes don't get any better, they get worse. Churches don't get any better, they get worse. But where are the Elijahs that just keep on praying? That's what we need today. You know, I get tired. People, oh, I care so much. Do you care enough to pray? Do you care enough to go on Mount Carmel and cast yourself upon the ground and pray all day long, even when there's no sign of an answer? Do we care that much? It is a time when the devil is on a rampage. I have seen the devil on a rampage many, many, many times, and so have you. And he is on a rampage today. But where are the Elijahs? We'll say, you know what? It's time to pray. It's time to pray. And even though they pray and pray and pray, there may be no sign of an answer. But we need some Elijahs who will keep on praying. We live in a time when the world is becoming more and more evil. in its thinking. And many of God's people think like the world. We live in a time when the world is becoming more and more evil in its ways, more and more evil in its speech, more and more evil in its pursuits and its enjoyments. We live in a time of carnal ambition. We live in a time of sinful pleasures. We live in a time when carnal ambition and sinful pleasures are becoming more and more prevalent. We live in a time of gross immorality and ever-increasing immorality and filth. We live in days where there are philosophies that are anti-God and they are rampant. And they are even rampant in God's house. We live in days in which God and the things of God are being pushed more and more and more out of everyday lives. That's not only true in our society, it is true in the religious world as well. What we need today are some Elijahs that will go and pray and pray and pray. No matter what the news, they'll pray. That's what he did. Oh, we need to pray. Need to pray. We live in a time when many of God's people are cold. They're careless. They are spiritually lax. They are indifferent toward the things of God. And God's people have lost their intensity. Here we are in the last days. Times have never been more desperate. And God's people are losing their intensity. This is not the time to lose spiritual intensity. If you're going to lose spiritual intensity, do the decent thing and get out of the way. Don't slow others down. But we live in a time when people are losing their spiritual intensity. They are losing their spiritual earnestness. We live in a time where there is no fire. There is no zeal. There is no passion for the Lord. Oh, we need some Elijahs who are going to pray. And as you pray, the answer may not come right away. The answer may not come tomorrow. The answer may not come next week. The answer may not come a month from now. You may hear over and over and over for months, there's nothing, there's nothing, there's nothing, there's no sign of improvement anywhere. Keep on praying. That's what we need to do. We need Elijahs who are going to keep on praying. We need some spiritual rains. Oh, how we need spiritual rain. How we need spiritual rain that'll cause the fruit of the Spirit to burst forth. Oh, that God would rain down upon us that the fruit of the Spirit, that is love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. They're in Galatians 5. That these things would burst forth. But today, look around. What's bursting forth? The works of the flesh. The works of the flesh. We need some Elijahs who are going to plead with God, please God, send the rain, send the rain, send the rain. And just keep on praying. You may say, well, I've been praying for brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so for 20 years. And for 20 years, there's nothing. Well, if you've invested 20 years, you might as well just keep on. Be kind of foolish to quit now. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Continue in prayer. even when there's no answer in sight. And we, like Elijah, can go from praying for the rain, praying for rain, to running in the rain. What a blessing. To run in the rain. Examine your prayer life. Examine your prayer life. Examine the intensity of your prayers. Seems to me that if we believed what we said we believe, say what we believe, concerning the times in which we live, we'd be a people of prayer. We'd be a people of prayer. And if we believe what we say we believe concerning the person of God, we would continue in prayer. Because even though we might pray and pray and pray, and we might hear over and over and over again, there's nothing. There's nothing. There's nothing. There's nothing better you can do but to continue to pray. If the answer comes, there is nothing. It's not for you and I to make something out of nothing. That's not our business.